sometimes things just work out. And so I did not plan the children's message to go exactly like that. But how wonderful it is to have kids who are excited to be in church and aren't intimidated by it, but just sort of root around in there and get all into it, into the gospel, I guess we could say. So I think it's a nice echo of our gospel reading this morning, which is a little chaotic and a little fiery and important. So friends, let us listen together for God's word. This is chapter 12, verses 49 through 56, and Jesus continues a long series of teachings, which we've been following the last few weeks, to a crowd of a couple of thousands that have gathered. He's warning them and encouraging them and trying to teach them a whole bunch of things about who God is. And in this particular one, he tells them about conflicts that occur whenever God's love comes into the world. I came to cast fire upon the earth. How I wish that it was already ablaze. I have a baptism I must experience. How I am distressed until it's completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, I have come to bring division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will square off against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud forming in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And indeed it does. And when a south wind blows, you say a heat wave is coming. And it does. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret conditions on the earth and in the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. Dear ones, let's be together in prayer this morning. God, help us to drop our shields this morning, to let the barriers down, to expose our soft underbellies, to hear your message that is not safe, but which is good. Amen. So Jesus is on fire this morning. Did you catch it in our gospel reading? Did you hear the crackling flames? Did you feel the heat when Jesus said that he was coming to bring fire? Did you get burned when he said that he came to bring peace? Not peace, but division. Is this the Jesus that you know? Is this the healing the blind, storms on the Sea of Galilee calming Jesus? Is this the do not be afraid, turn the other cheek Jesus? Is this the Jesus in chapter 12 about which the angels sing back in chapter 2 in the Christmas story? Peace on the earth, goodwill to all. There's this silly movie, you've probably seen it or maybe have seen it, called Talladega Nights, right? So there's a character named Ricky Bobby who's a race car driver, and he gets catapulted from the pit crew into the driver's seat. And to everyone's amazement, he starts winning all of these races. So there's this really great scene where he's sitting at his dining room table surrounded by his family, and the table is filled with all this food from all the corporate sponsors, right? Like Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell and Powerade and all that stuff. So he sits down with his family, and Ricky Bobby starts to pray. And he says, oh dear Lord, baby Jesus, oh tiny infant Jesus with your diapers of gold. And his wife interrupts him and she says, you know, sweetie, Jesus grew up. You don't always have to pray to the baby. Well, Ricky fires back. He's like, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm praying. And when you're praying, you can pray to the adult Jesus or the bearded Jesus or the teenage Jesus or anybody you want. It's a silly movie. You got to go see it if you haven't seen it. But it's a silly movie and a silly scene that reveals an important point, right? That we tend to be those who like the Christmas Jesus best. I mean, our hearts are warmed when those angels come to the shepherds in the field who are watching their flocks by night, and they tell the shepherds the good news of great joy. We adore the manger Jesus, so soft, so new under the starry sky, so filled with hope that it moves us to sing joy to the world. But see, less comfortable is the Jesus who pokes at the Pharisees and yells at his followers and yells at a fig tree until it dies and overturns the tables in the temple. And even less comfortable is the Jesus we have in our passage this morning who does what? Who preaches fire and division, who tells us he's stressed out, who predicts the tearing of the fabric of our families and our culture, who has some harsh words to say to the crowds about their blindness and their inability to see what God is doing all around them. You know it this morning that Jesus is on fire. What are we to do? So one way into the text this morning is to do what scholar Audrey West has done, and to make a distinction here between the prescriptive Jesus and the descriptive Jesus. Stay with me. But to make a distinction between the prescriptive Jesus and the descriptive Jesus. You see, prescriptive, sort of like a doctor's prescription, is where we dictate or sort of intend something to come about, make it come about. So as parents, we might prescribe to our children that they put their socks in the laundry basket rather than on the floor of their room. We might prescribe to our teenagers that they come home no later than 10 p.m. And so it's possible this morning that Jesus is prescribing fire and division and blindness, that he intends for those things to come into the world. Why? Because there's something saving somehow about the fire and the blindness and the division. In other words, it might be that Jesus' fire is a purifying fire that comes in to bring saving about. That's one way of reading the passage this morning. It's not the only way, though, because maybe Jesus isn't being prescriptive, maybe he's being descriptive. And he's being descriptive, perhaps, not by prescribing and trying to bring about fire and division and blindness as some sort of way of saving us, but that he is describing what happens, how people react and react violently whenever the gospel comes into the world and God's kingdom of peace and justice comes close. It may be that Jesus is aware here that too many people have too much to lose by a reversal of the status quo. And so they push back violently against God and God's way, and fires just start. And so, what do you think? As we read this morning, is Jesus being prescriptive or is he being descriptive? Is he intending the fire or is he observing the fire that sprouts up when he preaches God's love? Well, I'll be interested to see what you think about that. But I'm preaching this morning, so I'll tell you what I think. This week with Vacation Bible Camp, I was thinking about this passage and sort of like, oh, what am I going to say? This is a tough one, notorious tough one. Watching the kids run back and forth and sort of thinking about this in the flow of our real lives and why this all matters to us and to our kids. And so what I think Jesus is doing here, what I think he's trying to tell us is this. I don't think he's prescribing fire and division and blindness. I think he's describing what happens when God's love comes into the world. And then after describing it, I think he calls us, just like he calls the crowds 2,000 years ago, he calls us to make a choice about whether we're going to accept the kingdom, whether we're going to accept God's love, or whether we will choose instead to nail it to a tree. Oh yes, this morning, Jesus is on fire. But what about us?
I mean, we know Jesus is on fire. He's poking the Pharisees and he's teaching and healing and saying the most shocking things and doing the most shocking things and risking his life for the sake of God's kingdom of peace and justice. He is on fire and he's lighting fires that are raging out of control, and that we know those fires rage out of control and ultimately consume him on the cross on Good Friday. So we know that Jesus is on fire, but what about us? That's a hard question. I mean, when was the last time we had a Christ-like passion that caused us to run and hide underneath the organ? When was the last time we, in this church or any church in Jericho, Underhill for that matter, made the news not because we were helpful, not because we had a historic building, but because we were articulating a gospel critique of the world that wasn't the way God intended. Articulating a critique of things like drone strikes that kill innocent people. Articulating a gospel critique of economic policies that favor the wealthy and cause people to starve. Articulating a critique of the way we tend to treat the least among us. Political, I know. It's dangerous, but what about it? When was the last time our fire was applied to things like that? I saw a picture this week that was really powerful. Have you been following Egypt? The fires raging in Egypt? The political turmoil, the unrest, the violence there. I heard that over 50 Christian churches have been burned to the ground there. And then I saw this picture of a group of Muslim men holding hands as a wall in front of an Egyptian Coptic church to protect that church, though not their own faith, to protect it from those who might harm it. You see, when was the last time we burned with the faith that did stuff like that? I know it, I do, I feel it all the time. I like the Christmas Jesus best. I like angels and shepherds. I like to linger at the manger and sing joy to the world, but it's true that Jesus grew up. He traded a manger for a cross. He was on fire and caught the world on fire. It's true to us this morning and to we who like the Christmas Jesus best. Jesus is on fire. What are we to do? And the hard gospel answer this morning that Jesus calls out to us from chapter 12 is this: spark. Light it up. Flame and burn. Do not accept the world as it is, but light gospel fire to it. Becoming partners in bringing about this thing we call God's kingdom of peace and justice. That's not a safe message, I know that. Playing with fire is never safe. People get burned, people get angry and violent, and saviors get nailed to a tree. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish God's love and God's kingdom brought people together rather than tore them apart, but I think we know what Jesus knew, that fires just start when the kingdom comes close. But do not be afraid. Fear not. Read the signs, for whenever our fires burn hottest, that means the kingdom is closest. And this is our great news. Amen.